Spring Fest and Ego Days are here at Lowe's. Right now, get a free select Ego 56-volt battery with purchase of a select trimmer, blower, or mower kit. Plus, shop today for new and exclusive items you need for your lawn. So get ready for spring with the latest in innovation from Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Only at Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer valid through 4-2. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A group of academics writing in the British Medical Journal has found that blanket smartphone bans do not prepare children for a healthy relationship with technology. As we know, smartphones have the potential to do great harm to our children, but how do we strike the right balance between protecting them and preparing them for the world we live in? Professor James O'Higgins Norman is director of the DCU Anti-Bullying Centre. Morning, James.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Where do you stand on smartphone bans?
Yeah, I think they present a seductively attractive solution to a very complex problem. So overall, the research that I have been doing seems to suggest that they won't work, and certainly they won't work on their own.
Is it the case that if you take the smartphone from the child, you don't give them one, you're creating an anticipation that will be satisfied by a curious child?
Yes. I mean, what we found in our ongoing research over the last number of years, before this became such a hot topic in the wider media and so on, is that the more restrictive our policies and our approaches are to smartphones, the harder kids will work to get around those. And also what it tends to do is move a lot of the time and a lot of the negative behavior that they might engage in to a different part of the day. But actually, they do more of it then than they would have spread across the day.
So they condense the activity into the time they have the phone in their hands. Yeah, that's kind of logical when you think about it.
Well, when we look at the history of anything that's been banned in society, that kind of tends to be the human response.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember TV in the 80s when you had the likes of Mary Whitehouse railing against what she saw as filth on the television, which nowadays, by the way, wouldn't even raise an eyebrow in mid-afternoon. Yeah. And it didn't stop me from watching the telly. In fact, if anything, I wanted to stay up past 11 o'clock to see what they had on Channel 4.
Absolutely, I must say. I must be the same vintage as yourself. And it had that effect on us for sure. And, you know, we're no worse off for it. But I mean, there are very serious risks on the internet and on available to young people on phones. And of course, we need to put up guardrails and we need to educate them and we need to help them make the best decisions about their smartphone use. And we probably haven't done a great job of that so far. But I think a complete ban on anything, particularly for young people, isn't going to achieve the goals that people want to achieve.
Is there a hint of moral panic off it, James? Because we've had the conversations around taking phones off children in schools, even though for the rest of their working lives they're going to have a phone in their pocket. But now we're saying, oh, just get rid of them altogether. No child have access to a smartphone and the problem goes away. I mean, for me, it's not a million miles away from Helen Lovejoy screaming, "Will someone please think of the children?"
Yeah, I mean, look, parents today and society generally is grappling with something we've never done before. People talk about it being a kind of a live experiment, the use of smartphones by everyone, not just by children, and the benefits and the obvious risks and sometimes not so obvious risks that are there. So, of course, people are going to look for and the easiest and the quickest solution to that problem. But a ban in itself on its own without other things probably isn't going to achieve what people wanted to achieve. Certainly, there's limited enough research on the use of smartphone bans, and those that have been done don't suggest that they are very helpful. There was a big study came out of the UK there a couple of weeks back from the University in Birmingham, and it showed that there was no increase in their cognitive abilities. There was no decrease in risky behavior or bullying. So I think we have to look towards the research and make our decisions based around that. And hopefully we'll engage in more research on this as we go along.
One of the things, I don't know, did you see Adolescence, that Netflix show that everyone's talking about at the moment?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
One of the scenes that resonated with me was when the police officer spoke to his son, and they were trying to establish the motive. And I'm not giving away too much here, but trying to establish the motive at the centre of the whole show. And it was to do with what was on Instagram, and the son had to educate the father as to what was going on, and that kind of helped them crack the case. Is it better that parents educate themselves about what's going on, or at least have those open conversations, rather than saying, well, I know what's good for you, little Timmy, it's to take the phone off you altogether?
Absolutely. I think good, like it's kind of a very modern problem, but a very old fashioned solution. Good old fashioned parenting, making sure you have open lines of communication with your children, showing an interest in what they're doing, understanding their world. All of that will help. Now, I often use the analogy, it's like putting your child in a playground and walking away and seeing what happens. No parent would do that today. And so just giving a child a smartphone and saying, off you go, let's see what happens, is not the right approach. But it also means that if we are going to have smartphones in the lives of children, we need to be constantly working with them to make the best decisions and help them make the best decisions and incrementally increase their access and their ability to deal with the risks that are there. The research tells us that about 80% of people, including children, are happy and have a good time and are satisfied with their internet use and their smartphone use. About 20% aren't. And of that 20%, there's a smaller percentage that have a really awful time. So if we compare that to, say, for example, sometimes people make comparisons to smoking bans, but I don't think that's very helpful, because every single cigarette you take will kill you. But every single time you go on your smartphone, it doesn't necessarily carry a risk or doesn't necessarily damage you. So I think a better comparison is the use of cars. You know, there are risks with cars, and we've learned to design cars better, and we've also put rules and regulations in around how they're used, and that helps then to address the risks that are there. I think we need to do the same when it comes to smartphones. And I think all of this emphasis on the users is distracting from the fact that social media companies have created algorithms, and they've created a space that is highly it is like the Wild West. Anybody can put anything up there, and it's available to anyone. And I think we need to start regulating what can be put on the internet and who has access to it.
Just to finish up, there are lots of different community groups, and there's communities coming together, and they say, right, none of our kids are going to have smartphones, and it's going to remove the peer pressure, and aren't we great? And there's an awful lot of self-congratulation around those type of groups. And I'm saying fair play, they're trying to do something, but is it a case they're somewhat misguided? Is that what this latest research is telling us?
Yeah, this research that you're looking at today certainly would suggest that that kind of approach, although it's to be absolutely applauded, because any people coming together to attack a problem is always a good thing. But the focus on removing smartphones doesn't actually get to the deeper issues that need to be addressed. And certainly research that we've been doing at DCU, Anti-Bullying Centre, over the last couple of years, would show that when those parental groups come together and they make those promises about not purchasing phones and not giving phones to children, the children have access to devices, other devices, and they're well able to find ways to get online with their parents' support, even though they may not own a phone. So we have to be kind of honest, really, about what's really going on here. Children have digital lives. Adults have digital lives. All of our lives are blended now. And we need to maybe be honest about that and then plan for managing the risks around that for everybody.
Professor James O'Higgins-Norman, Director of the DCU Anti-Bullying Centre. Thanks for talking to us, James.
Thank you.
News Talk's Cash Machine.
Well, it is a big day for the Newstalk Cash Machine. Ray Foley's making a call after 3 o'clock today, and one of you is going to win €207,000, which is an incredible amount of money, and it could very well be yours. If you've entered already, that means you've entered. If you haven't entered yet, here's how you do it. You text the word play to 57557. That's play to 57557. The cost is £2.50 plus your standard message rate. You have to be over 18, and you're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Full terms and conditions on the website, newstalk.com. Get your entry in by 3 o'clock. And don't forget to answer within five rings. And you have to tell us the all-important prize amount, which is €207,000 exactly. €207,000 exactly. Get your text in now, and we will find out who is the winner of the News Talk Cash Machine a little bit later on during Sean's programme. I worked as a teacher of English in China, and no Chinese student would dare take out a phone in the class. However, when I taught in Ireland, phones in class were a nightmare. To ban mobile phones, says another listener, is causing more problems. It drives more of an interest. Restricted use in schools, at home, in the movies and so on is far better. Kids, says someone else, are happy with their phones because they know no different. They say, hazard a guess that this man, who was our guest, didn't raise kids through the transition phase as I did. I'm not sure about that. Actually, to be fair, I don't know whether James has children or not. It's not something that came up in the conversation, but I know that I also raised children in the so-called transition phase. It's not easy, but you know, you have to do your best to try and restrict access, and you don't let the bully into the bedroom, which is the big thing in our house. But outside of that, you're going to have to let kids use their phones. They're going to have them for the rest of their lives. Do you know the way that you're all absolutely terrified of AI? It's going to become their normal. And I think that's probably what's a little bit scary for older people. And by older people, I mean me. Anyone suggesting banning phones is feasible doesn't have a teenager. Banning phones for teens would be counterproductive. Teens have a lot of money, do they? They would just get a burner phone, and then parents have no oversight to what access they have. Limiting age to get one, 13, is the right thing to do. And that's it. I mean, I think most parents are very proactive about it. You're not going to get a phone that you could use as a phone until you start secondary school, because then you need to keep track on them, which is probably the main reason why parents give their children phones when they're on the mean streets.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.